and recording of November 5, 2019 Audit and Finance Committee meeting to convene at 5 p.m. at the boardroom of Chugach Electric Association at 5601 Electron Drive, Anchorage, Alaska.
So, Sheree, I'm going to call the meeting to order. And on the committee and in the room, we have Director Hollis, Director Reeves. On the phone, we have Director Chastain, and we also have Director Parks. I think I got everybody. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda for tonight?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 And I'll call for a motion for the approval of the August 7th committee meeting. Is there a motion?
Yes, I will move to approve the minutes of the August 7th Audit and Finance Committee meeting.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? All right, and I do not think we have members to be heard. Correct? All right, so we will move on to CEO reports and correspondence.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Since I've been a little preoccupied lately, I'm going to turn this over to Sheree and her great team. And they've done a really good job of pulling this budget together and all the other pertinent documents. So with that, I'm going to punt to Sheree, and she might punt as well.
Further.
Punting since the end of August. So I just wanted to recognize Renee. She's going to sit up here with me tonight because she's responsible for putting all the hard work in putting all these documents together for tonight's meeting and for tomorrow's meeting, because the financial analyst that worked for Renee had a great opportunity, and she took a controller position at another firm. So I just want to recognize Renee for just putting all this together. I tried to help, but she spent more time fixing what I did than anything. So I just want to have her up here with me so that we can, one, recognize her for her hard work and also help where we need it. So the first item is the 401k audit, and that is included for your guys' review. And if there's any questions, Mr. Andrews should be here to discuss that. Okay, then I'll be here to discuss that if there's any questions. And we do have, these are your normal quarterly reports, the operating budget status report, capital tracking, contract status, and then the variance memo. Most of the items in the variance memo Kathy's going to go over tonight in her presentation, which is coming up next. But I would like Renee does have a presentation associated with the tax return for 2018. As you guys recall, we filed an extension due to the changes associated with parking. We talked about that briefly last time, and Renee's actually put a PowerPoint together showing some of those elements. So, Davina, if you're able to pull that up, yes.
Is this the time to ask a question on the 401k?
Sure.
Because I just wondered, when was that established, the 401k program?
Didn't we do that?
We did it.
Sure, I'm trying to find Tyler.
It was fairly recent, wasn't it?
No.
It's been around forever.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
It's been around for close to 20 years, if not longer.
Okay. It's our normal 401k that hasn't changed. Nothing's changed in it. It's just that it's audited every year by KPMG. It's part of their contract.
Mm-hmm.
And then they include their report.
Well, I'll just have a comment for the rest of the board, because other people probably caught this too, but I did notice that you can withdraw, under the terms of this plan, you can withdraw from the plan to cover unreimbursed medicals. So I found that interesting in the context of the things we were talking about at the last meeting. So go ahead.
Okay. Davina, do you want to pull up the 990 PowerPoint?
And as we're getting started, I will just remind the board that this conversation tonight, especially since we have some jam-packed nights and agendas, is particular to the impact of the things that are going on with parking to Chugach, but we aren't going to get into a big discussion about what's going on the national scene with parking and cooperatives. We are going to trust that Enrica is working on that for us, and the advocacy and the opportunities to have impact there. That conversation will, for Chugach, would take place elsewhere, not in the accounting and finance. So if we could just keep our conversation focused on impacts that this committee would look at.
Well, while we're figuring out how to advance the slides, let me go over just briefly. It's a high-level coverage tonight of what we discussed back in May. When we went over the first quarter 10Q, that's typically when we file the 990. And due to the legislation, we had filed an extension. It's an automatic 6-month extension, so it is actually due to be filed next week. So we're going to just go over just briefly some of the tax legislation, how it impacted Chugach, and then we'll give you a chance to take a look at some of the aerial shots of our parking so that you can see specifically what we're talking about. So as we said back in May, this legislation came out of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. If you all recall, this came at like the 0 hour, the end of December of 2017. And we had to then start looking into the impacts of the parking legislation that was embedded in there. And one of the impacts was that any parking expenses that you have for parking use supplied to your employees has to be accounted for on your 990T if you meet certain thresholds and be included as unrelated business taxable income. And the purpose of this was to equalize between taxable entities and tax-exempt entities. We went through a 4-step method calculation, and if you look here on the next slide, here is a picture of the calculation that you have to go through. You have to identify whether or not you have any parking for your employees, or is the parking that you supply, is it greater than 50% of it used by your employees, or is it the majority of it used and open for the public? If you have any parking that's reserved, what parking do you have reserved for your customers or for the general public? What parking do you have reserved for your employees' use only? So then here's on the next slide, we go over a high-level snapshot of what we went through as Chugach. We had to determine what our parking costs were, estimate what the parking cost per space was, and figure out what of our parking costs are allocated specifically for employee parking. Using that determination, we went through and filled out the 990T, did a calculation, removing the 1,000 deduction, applying the 20% tax rate to figure out what would we need to then include as unrelated business taxable income. On the next slide, you see just a high-level snapshot of the parking space count that we did of our campus. And of course, this includes not only our headquarters campus, but it includes reaches out to all of our power plants, since we do provide parking for our facility vehicles and then for our employees that are working at the power plant. Now, you'll notice here on that table that's up on the upper left side how there are 0 parking spots available at any of our power plant facilities for obvious security reasons. And then we identified 81 that were allocated open to the public here at the headquarters building. So in total, we identified 356 parking spots, and the parking lot expenses in total were $143,000. Now, for those parking areas that are not open to the public, the costs that are associated with those are clearly allocated specifically for employee use. So of those spaces allocated to employees, we found 275. The cost related to those 275 spaces was $105,369. That line you'll see right there, the 105, you can also identify in your packet on the 990T. It's on page 2, line 34. We reduce it by the $1,000 deduction, apply the 21% tax rate, and we come up with our 990 tax of $21,917.
So the part that Rachel was indicating earlier, the part that NRECA is working on and trying to get corrected is for the facilities that are behind the fence. So this would be obviously the ones that Renee talked about, where for security reasons we don't allow the public to park at Cooper or Klutner at SPP. And so NRECA is trying to work and is lobbying on behalf of all of the cooperatives to say that that behind the fence parking for security reasons should just be excluded from the CAL. So that's actually what they're working on our behalf, and they just have not heard anything yet. So certainly if something like that gets changed, then hopefully it'll retro back and that the co-ops will be doing some adjustments. So that's what they're working on.
So when we filed our extension on the advice of our tax consultant, what we did was we actually did an estimated overpayment when we filed the extension. And what we did was we had a large payment of approximately $35,000 to include not only our estimate for the 2018, what we estimated for tax due, but also to cover, since we were filing the extension in May, to cover the first and second quarter payments that would normally be due if you were filing a 990T.
Required to make quarterly tax
Yes,
payments.
You are. So here is an aerial shot of our headquarters campus, and it's a little hard to see, but there are some bright lines in there to indicate where there's fencing, and it restricts the public from being able to park in those areas. And those would be areas that would then be included as allocated specifically for employee use. And then here is a closer snapshot of the SPP parking areas. All of these parking areas would be behind fencing, of course. So are there any questions?
Just a quick question.
Sure.
Renee, remind us, is there any impact to the employees because of this, or is it only Chugach has to pay?
If we had met the threshold on our parking, then there would be an impact to employees, but we do not have parking costs that exceed that threshold.
Okay. And that would have been included as taxable income, if it would have,
right,
for an employee, correct. And this is FYI, there's no board action, there's no committee action to take tonight, right? No, the 990T is just for going forward. You're going to see two tax returns filed by Chugach now going forward. You're going to see the regular 990, and then obviously the 990T. That's just going to move forward, and that's just what we're going to have.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So then that normal 990 return that we file every year, there's a draft in there included for your review. And we have the our tax KPMG who reviews that. It's still out for review with them, and we're still waiting to hear back if there's any changes. But if there are any significant changes to this, we'll definitely let the board know prior to making the filing next week. It's due on the 15th. And that's actually all we have under CEO reports and correspondence, unless there's any questions on any of the other items before Kathy gives her report on the financials. Any questions? Okay, let's hear the report.
Good afternoon. Or evening, I guess. It feels more like night now. It's dark already. We're going to go over the first three quarters of 2019 from a financial perspective. We'll look at our sales, our results of operations, changes in our balance sheet, and our statement of cash flows.
Where are we on that?
We are on new business.
I mean, can somebody tell me where
a page
we
number?
There? I think I see it there. No.
Sorry, I'm getting there myself.
Yeah.
I think we're on page 69 of 138, right? Is that where
I
we
think
are?
It's 80.
Well, I didn't scroll down far enough. I'm sorry.
Okay. Got it. Thank
we're
you.
We're on 80.
Okay, ready?
Yep. Ready.
Our sales are continuing our long-standing pattern of decline. The good news is they haven't declined as much as we expected on our budget for 2019, so we're 1.4% above our budget, or about 1.2% below where we were in 2018. On the retail side, on the wholesale side, which is Seward, their sales have continued to decline more than we anticipated, so we're about 1.5% below budget. And 1.9% below where we were in 2018 on sales for Seward. But because we're ahead of budget on the kilowatt hour sales, that translates into a positive variance in our operating revenues on our statement of operations. The actual numbers here can be seen on page 5 of your 10Q, which we'll be going over tomorrow night. So the $5 million variance, a large part of that is due to our higher than budgeted sales. Some of it is also due to the fact we had about $820,000 more in wheeling revenues than we had budgeted. Of course, on the opposite side, our fuel and purchase power expenses are also up because we had to generate more power. But also we're seeing a little bit of an increase in the, not just because of higher sales, but a little bit of impact of the Swan Lake fire, which is detailed on page 35 of your 10Q. Most of our operating expenses are a little bit below budget or even. The two exceptions are depreciation, amortization, and interest expense. Interest expense has been higher than anticipated. The rates have been higher than we budgeted all year this year. We finally saw the commercial paper rates drop below 2% for the first time this year. Today, when we do commercial paper roll, and also I don't think we included in the budget the $75 million bonds that we went to market with in May of this year. Overall, we're not too far off where we budgeted for margins. We're $280,000 below where we had been budgeted to be this time of year. The next slide is just a graph of our $155 million worth of operating and interest expense to give you a comparison of where our largest expenses are, which of course is in fuel and purchase power, interest expense, depreciation, and amortization. The next slide is a comparison of our balance sheet from December 2018 to September of 2019. Our electric plant in service is up about $23 million. Total utility plant up about $21 million, but that's more than completely offset by our depreciation for the year. So our net utility plant is actually down a little bit. Cash and marketable securities are down. A large part of that was the payments we made to Homer and MEA earlier this year. Accounts receivable are down, which is to be expected compared to December. And deferred charges are up about $5 million, mostly related to the IMO and the acquisition costs. So total assets are down $10 million for the year. On the next slide, our patronage capital is down $5 million, also related to the MEA capital credits we paid earlier this year. Our bonds payable are at $51 million, which is the $75 million in new bonds we got, offset by the $25 million in bond payments we made in the first quarter. Our commercial paper is up to $17 million. It's down to $44 million from the end of the year. It's up from last quarter because in March we paid $8.8 million in bond interest. We pay that semi-annually in March and in September, so that payment went out in September. Other current and accrued liabilities is also down, also because our accrued interest is down since we just made a payment on that. And also our fuel cost overage is down. So overall, our total liabilities are down also $10 million. The last slide is the statement of cash flows. We carry forward our assignable margins, $200,000. You saw that from slide five. Depreciation and amortization is our largest non-cash adjustment to come up with net cash provided by operating activities of about $15 million. We've used all of that in investing activities and then some investing activities. We've used almost $20 million, most of that an extension of replacement of plant. And on the third section, the financing activity, you can see the same change we saw in commercial paper, $44 million, and the change in long-term obligations, which is once again the bonds we issued offset by the bond payments we have made. So our net change in cash over the course of the year is about $3 million down. We're at $4.2 million at the end of the quarter. The good news is that's about $720 million in cash, more cash we had than we had at June 30th, the last quarter. Are there any questions?
Dr. Parks?
I just want to make sure I've got this right. So fuel's always separated out from the production in your costs. But is that true also when we purchase power? We purchase power, we're also getting a charge for fuel separate. It's not combined together, correct?
The purchase power includes, when we purchase power from others, their cost of fuel is included.
But
in
it's not included in the purchased price number. It's put up in the fuel numbers.
No, it's included in purchase power.
Okay, so our fuel costs actually went, I think I saw it somewhere, went up, even though our power production went down, is what we're saying, correct? So our actual $42 million for fuel, when the budget was $41 million roughly, and yet power production was, is about the same.
Oh no, purchase power is one line further down.
So it's not that much.
Purchase power is up $3.2 million and fuel is up $1.6 million.
Right, but so when we purchase power, we do acquire the fuel cost, but does that go in the fuel line or does that go as part of the purchase power line?
Part of the purchase power line.
So it goes back, you know, we're spending more for fuel and producing less power for our own component is what our numbers show. It's not a huge difference, but...
Well, we had more sales, so we did have more production also.
Mm-hmm. So we had more production due to sales, and then we were producing using less efficient generation because of the transmission lines, so then the cost of the fuel...
So it's in budget to actual is due to where we're producing the power at. That's where we're identifying it.
Right, on our fuel line, that's what's included in our fuel line.
Correct.
Question. Other questions? No? Okay. Thank you. All right. So I think we are now ready for the next session, which is operating a capital budget, which will take place in executive session, if I can get a motion.
Madam Chair. I will move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 10.25.175C1, the Audit and Finance Committee go into executive session to discuss financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? All right, let's be in executive session.
I move that the Audit and Finance Committee recommend the Board of Directors approve the 2020 operating and capital budget, which is expected to produce margins of 5.8 million, MFI over I ratio of 1.25, tier ratio of 1.27, and equity to total capitalization ratio of 30.3%. These results are based on the total cost of service of $222.0 million, total revenue of $227.3 million, normal operating margins of $0.5 million, and a capital expenditure cash requirement of $57.6 million.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. All right, motion carries. We have on the agenda director comments, but I am going to suggest that we will be here tomorrow and the staff is not here to hear them. So we would just be telling ourselves. So
thank you so much again.
Without any, if there are no objections to not doing director comments, and I don't see any, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
We're adjourned. 7:35.
All right, good night.